to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is hit us up there. Joining us now on the line, he's a candidate for Congress, but he's also a former congressman. Calling him from the nation's capital today, Jerry Carl is with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for making time. Always appreciate you coming on, and hope you had safe travels. Well, you're up there in the belly of the beast. You never can get enough of it, but what are you hearing up there?
So far, nothing. We got here pretty early this morning. Everyone seems to be a little bit worried about the upcoming elections, which would be, you know, obviously the 2026 elections in the House. I see where we had another Texas member that's going to resign after this cycle. That's six just out of the state of Texas on the Republican side. So there's a lot of fears brewing. They must know something I don't know. Obviously, Alabama being a red state, we don't have much to worry about as far as the Republicans being elected. But I guess some of these other states seem to be some issues.
Well, the Tennessee special election tonight, however that goes, how convinced are you that that's a bellwether, you think?
I don't know if that is or not. You know, I knew the previous congressman that was in there, Mark, and I know Speaker Johnson was in there today, this morning, or it was last night. I'll be with him late this afternoon, stop in and say hello. But they poured all their resources and time into that. I think we're going to keep it. I really do. That's just my gut feeling. I think this lady that's running on the Democrat side is really too far to the left, even for those folks, you know, around Nashville. So we'll see. We'll find out here pretty soon. I don't know, by 9 o'clock or so.
Yeah, I guess if she does win, there's certainly time to be concerned and sound the alarm. But you're right, and that's been held typically as a Republican seat.
If she wins and she gets sworn in, that will make some interesting conversations, because they could bring the speaker up for a vote.
Yeah,
that's basically a tie.
Well, then
somebody out with a flu, and Mike would be out of his seat, which we do not want that.
Well, the Democrats are going big on it. They really, really are for that reason. So
there's blood in the water. You know how it works up here.
Right? Yeah. So this is no small deal. I believe. I think we're gonna learn a lot. But I don't know what you're hearing, but Congressman. It just feels like it's going to be a tough election cycle for Republicans, and it's hard to know. It's some of these guys have been saying, well, we can pick up seats, but I think maybe kind of really, really hold in on playing defense for this cycle.
Well, you know, it's not a good time. You know, some of these members that do not have challenging districts, I hope they're out working, raising money. Money, you know, greases the machine. Also going in, doing some on-the-ground legwork with some of these newer candidates and trying to get them elected. I'll see most all of them tonight. I'll be at a function tonight with all the Republican members, and I'll be able to give you a report back from that. But my guess is everyone's kind of teaming up and figuring out where they need to go. I volunteered to help after May, after our election. So they know after my election, I'll give them some free time and be able to help them raise money and also go on the field and work with them. These new candidates need all the help they can get. Just nothing else, just organizing themselves.
Speaking of, how is your campaign going?
My campaign's going great, Jeff. It truly is. I mean, I'm just humbled by the turnout of the people that are calling and people that are helping and people that are, I put together 250 yard signs the other day, and I walked back there where I keep them and they're all gone. I mean, and no one gets a yard sign before Christmas. I wouldn't put one in my own yard before Christmas. But, you know, everyone seems to be jumping on this and jumping on it very early. We're looking very strong in Baldwin County, Mobile County, obviously my home county, and we're looking strong there. Scandia County, we're looking strong. We've got to obviously do more work, more legwork over in the Wiregrass, and we've started that way. The campaign itself, I've never been this encouraged by any campaign. And I don't mean that as being overconfident. I'm just meaning from the stuff that I see from the people that are getting involved very early, because it is still very early. Most of your listeners probably don't know there's an election coming up in May. Maybe your listeners do, but most listeners of radio don't know there's an election coming up in May.
Nothing comes easy for you, does it? County commission races, congressional races, you've been battle tested. Do you ever think about that? Like, man, like, you know, do I ever get an easy election?
You know, it's just life, though, Jeff. You can't pick the easy stuff. You know, you go in Congress, everybody thinks it's an easy job. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. That's why you see these people bailing out. You got so many members. The average member only lasts 6 years. And there's reasons for that. It's pressure. It's the constant campaigning. It's just a boilermaker of attitudes constantly going on. But I function in that environment. I mean, I'm pretty cool, very low key. You know, I'm standing in the background somewhere, but I can function in that atmosphere. And these campaigns, yeah. I told my wife the other day. I said, "Do you think I'll ever get an easy campaign?" And she just laughed. She said, "You get bored to death and go start trouble somewhere else." So. I'm okay with it. I am truly okay with it. It brings out the best in me, as it does in all of us.
Well, these campaigns, they're not easy, though. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, especially when they're close, and, man, it can be, like, gut-wrenching watching those results come in, and you know how it goes. You've been on both sides of it. At some point, Maybe you'll get an easy election or two.
Well, maybe so, but until then, I'll tell you what God sends my way. He does not burden me with anything that I cannot handle, so I'm good for it. Let's go.
I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but I'll just kind of toss it to you. You take it where you want, but the stuff on Alabama Daily News with Katie Britt and the. Trading your vote for a position. And I mean, do you want to respond to any of that?
You know, the only thing I want to respond is this. That was an article written based on anonymous sources, and it was requoted by someone that has not bothered to check. I assume they haven't checked with Katie's folks. That I've not heard a word from anybody to ask me if it's true or not. You're the first one to ever ask me a question. And I really would like to leave it at that, because when I win, I need to be in a situation where I can work with Katie. And I still think the world of Katie, and I'm still one of her biggest fans. So I want to leave it at that. But anonymous sources and knowing, is this truly journalism these days? Is this where it goes? You just get an anonymous source to tell you a story and you write a story around it? I just find that very, very confusing.
I don't know that. I mean, I didn't see that you were quoted in it, and now this is behind a paywall.
But no one asked me if it's true or not.
Right.
The people that wrote it. I didn't even read the story. I've had a couple of conversations. Most people don't even know what we're talking about, probably. But, you know, I find it very confusing how, in the state of Alabama, you can manipulate the press. I've never been on that side of it. I'm on the manipulation side now, and I can see it. I mean, you've got ownership in some of these press groups that are tied to the machine. You've got the machine that could buy. I didn't realize you could pay people to write stories. put it behind a paywall like this. Someone paid for that article to be written, I understand. So I can just have an article written and put it behind a paywall, and someone can pull it up and say, oh my gosh, he's a horrible person. And no one bothered to ask anybody about it. That's not journalism, Jeff. That's just true. That's just pure lying. Well, that's just lies.
Let me ask you about one of the components, the minibus vote and your decision not to vote with that. Now, the delegation didn't go along with it either, but that seems to be at least one of the sticking points here with Senator Britt.
Yes, and she and I had that conversation, and yes, she asked me to help her on the vote for that, and I couldn't do it. I mean, there's stuff in there, I couldn't do it. What I did do is I tried to find another person to vote with me. So I went around and I whipped all the delegation, and all of them were very firmly no, and that's not what I reported back. It's as simple as that. Now, it was a horrible bill. I mean, even our Democrat, Terry Sewell, didn't even vote for it. It was so bad. I don't know. I get paid to vote conservative, and if you take and split that bill up, you're going to see how unconservative it truly is. I just did my job, and now I'm being ridiculed for that. I mean, I'm one of the entire delegation that voted no, and somehow I'm wrong for it because somebody decides to write an article. Come on, Jeff, you know how this town works. That's BS.
I do, and if I recall, I mean, there was not... There was no real, it was getting a lot of heat from Republicans at the time. And then if I recall, I mean, you were set up, going to have to defend your seat with the new lines, and that was going to make it.
No, it was over with. I didn't have to defend my seats. This was after I'd lost to Barry. So it would have been an easy walk for me. I could have walked, I could have voted for it and walked out and not said a word, but I know what's in that bill, and we dissected that bill, and I weighed it, and I did exactly what I was voted in to do. I looked at it, and I said no, just like all the other members did. So a no is a no. I got voted in to do a job. I continued to do that job till the last day I was in office, and when I walked out, I had a clear conscience. So I'm not going to apologize for that.
I truly am not. It wasn't even necessarily a political vote. It wasn't because...
Not for me, it wasn't. It was a moral vote. Because I give people my word and when I'm campaigning, when I talk to people, and sometimes you can't keep it. Sometimes things do happen. But I had a choice on that one to do it right or wrong, and I did it right.
So, and then you were on your way out, and you didn't go along with it. And I guess... Katie Britt was the only one who voted for it in the delegation altogether?
Yeah, Tommy voted against it in the Senate, and the entire Alabama House delegation, we all voted against it. And I did try to get a second vote. My response to the request I got is if I can get a second vote, I'll look at voting for it. Maybe that person can sell me on the idea of why. But it just didn't work out that way. So I reported back, No one else has interest, and I'm not going to vote for it. And somehow or another, I become the bad guy. But with that said, again, I was voted in to vote in a conservative manner, and I did it. I mean, that cut a whole bunch of funding that was going down to the border. Remember, this was during the Biden administration, so it was loaded with a bunch of junk. I mean, a bunch of junk. So I know it's the only way to go on that.
Joined by Jerry Carl, he's a candidate for Congress in the 1st Congressional District, also a former congressman. Hey, real quick, Venezuelan boat strikes. I don't know how much you keep it up with that, but it feels very like a manufactured narrative. What's your take on it?
I think we're doing our job down there. I think the drug cartels, if they don't want to get boats shot up, quit sending them out and with their drugs. I'm so tired of the fentanyl and watching the repercussions that we pay for it as a society here. I mean, they're moaning and groaning about 2 or 3 or 10 or 12 people killed smuggling that in. How about the hundreds of thousands that have died and families that are destroyed from the drugs that they smuggled in before that? So tell me, I mean, is there any difference between a rapist or a murderer? You know, when he murdered one or he murdered five, you know, when does it become a murder? A drug dealer is a drug dealer, and we have to deal with them on the spot. And I like what the president's doing.
Congressman, last question. We'll get you out of here. Folks want to find out more about your campaign, look you up. Well, how can they do so?
JerryCarpelCongress.com. I would love you to come online, make a small donation, volunteer to help us, and or let us know if you need a yard sign.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, thanks again.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Forrest Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey! Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers.